In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we're remembering our Lord's baptism. And, it made me think about, of course, our whole practice of baptism. And there's this phrase that went around when I grew up, going to a Lutheran elementary and middle school, that meant something pretty special. And it was a phrase maybe you're all familiar with, but it would always be said. But when I was just a little fifth or fourth grader, I didn't quite know what it all meant. And it was this phrase, remember your baptism. And the pastors and teachers would tell us this, that we should remember our baptism when things are rough, or when things or troubles reach us, or when we're not sure what's going on, remember your baptism. And I didn't quite understand what that phrase meant. And so whenever I heard that, I always thought it was remembering my own baptism event. Because I was baptized March 30th, 1997. And so I was like 5 years old when I was baptized. And I could remember the event pretty clearly. It was pretty vivid in my mind, not just because I was up front and in front of all these people and got water splashed in my face, but my whole family was involved with the baptism. We all were baptized on March 30th, 1997. My dad, my mom, my sister, myself. It was kind of a family thing where the pastor baptized all of us. And to make it more memorable, March 30th, 1997 was Easter Sunday. And so me, as a little five-year-old kid, on Easter Sunday, thinks this whole, all the Easter festivities and celebration in a church packed with people, thought all these people were showing up for our baptism, that this whole celebration was for me and for us. So I just remember there were just people I did not even know, never met, and they all showed up for my family's baptism. We're all dressed up a little better than we usually do for church. And we got to sit up front. And the pastor called us forward to be baptized. And one by one, we each kind of bowed our head over the font to get the water on our... Well, I was too short, so my dad had to help. And Pastor Kohlmeyer put the water on my forehead, and it kind of went down my face. But I remember the details of my own baptism pretty vividly. But the phrase, remember your baptism, never really made that much sense to me. Because am I just supposed to remember it was a really cool thing that happened? And that's supposed to help me get through the things that are going on in my life? And of course, I was only a little elementary schooler. But you'd imagine my surprise that when in one of my classes, one of fifth grade or something, the teacher wanted all of us to bring in our baptismal kit stuff, right? You get your certificate, you get a candle, sometimes you get maybe a little medallion with a shell on it. And our teacher wanted us to bring that stuff in to present and tell the story about our baptism. And I was astonished, because when I kept hearing the phrase, remember your baptism, I'd think of my own story and the things that happened. But these people, when they started telling their stories at this Lutheran school, every friend of mine would begin their stories the same way. You know, I don't actually remember my baptism because I was only a baby. And so, but my parents told me that this is what happened. And you can imagine my surprise, and also how ridiculous in my head it felt, where it's like, these people keep telling us to remember our baptism, and these kids can't even remember it themselves because they were too young to even remember it. And so it just never made sense to me what the whole point of remembering your baptism had to do with anything. But of course, you know, I matured, grew up, and I found out that the reason we say the phrase has a different purpose than remembering the experience, remembering the event. When us Christians talk about remembering our baptisms, it's not that we're supposed to remember the things happening or going on around it, but the fact that we were baptized. That you are baptized, claimed, adopted into the Lord's church, and in a very real way, God bent low and by his Spirit, through the water and the word, put his name on your heart. And just like when the Lord formed the clay and breathed into Adam's nostrils to give him life, in the water, the Spirit gives you a new spirit of life, life in his name. It's in baptism that the promise of forgiveness of sins, the promise of salvation and a new life is given. But remembering your baptism still sometimes doesn't quite make sense to me. At least the way we say it. Because all those things are applied when we are telling people, remember your baptism, because all those truths and promises that God gave in that moment are still true as you remember it. But the thing that bothers me is it doesn't really seem to answer what's actually going on with what I'm dealing with. It seems to be just more information that I already knew about, and simply just acknowledging those things taking place doesn't seem to help me with the things that are going on. But I think Paul reminds us that to remember your baptism is something more than just acknowledging and being reminded that these events took place. But instead, in a very real way, you're brought deeper into who you truly are. You are brought into a reality and a new identity that's completely different from who you once were. And for a lot of you, it's not so profound because it was when we were younger and we were babies and children. But it is certainly a process that we have always been going through and something that needs to be reminded each and every day. And that's exactly what Paul is getting at in our text. A little bit about Romans 6. Paul is writing to the Christians of Rome he is writing to them to let them know that they are a different sort of people now. They are identified as something else. Because previously sin ruled and reigned in their life. And it was the good law of God. It was God's commandments, God's order, God's will for their lives that made people aware of the brokenness going on within them. That their whole being was bound to the will of sin, is what we could call it, or bound to the rebellion against God. Because that's really what sin is, and it's a rebellion against what God's purposes are for you, and is focused in on what you want and my needs. But Paul tells them that the gospel itself is the fullness of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and his resurrection that sets them free from God's law and God's grace that covers a multitude of these sins, of these shortcomings. And that's why Paul addresses this in his first point. Because he opens up this section with, are we to continue sinning so that God's grace may abound? And of course, that makes some sense in a way, but Paul says, of course not. For that's so obviously seditious and misses the whole point of being baptized. Because Satan and his devious ways and the world and our own sinful flesh will try to convince you to exploit God's forgiveness and use his gifts for your advantage. And when that is the case, baptism really serves no purpose for you. But the Roman Christians do not do this because the people of Rome are baptized. And Paul calls on them to remember their baptism. For in baptism, God graciously now rules and reigns in their life. And Paul in the text he continues to flesh this out as not to cause any confusion. For us, it's maybe a little difficult. I mean, he is writing in the first century. But in baptism, Paul is saying that Christians are now united in Jesus Christ, united to his life, to his story, his whole ministry on earth, and in that includes his death on the cross. And that so in baptism, God's people are united to his son's death. Death with Christ means that the rule of sin, the rebellion against God, the dominance of sin in your life is destroyed, and God's people are set free from that. Death means you are no longer identified with Satan and his works, or with Satan as your master, but now identified with the true Lord Jesus Christ. But even then, in Romans, Paul pushes it further, for just as Christians die with the Lord in baptism, Christians are also joined to Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Just as Christ experienced the harsh suffering and death on the cross that his people are united in, the resurrection that our Lord experiences is also the resurrection of God's people because they are united with him in baptism. And Paul is not just talking about some future event, which is true, but Paul is talking about this whole death and new life and this resurrection as being a reality that is happening now. The reign of sin in the life of Christians ends, and the gracious, loving Lord Jesus Christ reigns over the life of a Christian. It's the identity of God's people to have the Lord of creation rule in their life. I know that's a lot to take in coming from Romans. And maybe it's all too conceptual and too up here and doesn't really have anything to do with me still when I remember my baptism. But you're included in that baptism. And today, as we remember the Lord's baptism, we too will remember our own baptisms later as we go through this rite of remembrance. Yet, I think when it becomes real for us is that reality seems to lose its effect on us more often than we like to admit. Because even though we acknowledge and know that we have been baptized and we remember the event, whether from our baptismal certificate or our candle that we light on our baptismal birthday, or from the stories we hear from our parents, we actually remember the day, but the reality of the event might start to fade away as we walk away from the font. And the temptations that try to turn us away from following our Lord to rule in our lives once again. Too often you believe that when you are set free in baptism, when you are liberated, that means you're set free from listening to others, that you're set free from following the rules, that you're set free from doing what other people tell you to do, and that you're free to do your own thing, free from God's good law, and free to do what you want because, well, you're baptized. But Paul puts in front of you the reality that to live in this way to exploit God's grace is to continue living under the rule and reign of sin. The rule and reign of sin has many different faces for us. And it can be something obvious, like purposefully ignoring the will of God in the Ten Commandments. It can be something so clear as wantingly or encouraging others to do that. But more often for us, I think, the rule and reign of sin tends to greet us with a smile and some pleasantries and some things that seem not too bad, but seem pretty good for me. The reign and rule of sin tries to tell us that we have things together, that the things that are happening are not my responsibilities, or at least they're not because of me. That they're someone else's fault. That we try to justify our own way because of this or that circumstance that seems to tell me, well, this is happening, they're doing this thing, and I can fix it, I can make it better because I've been baptized and I know these things, even though the wrong thing to do is to shut someone out, to not show love to my neighbor, or to ignore this person because this thing or that thing or something we create in our heads. To let sin rule and reign in your life begins to push away those we love and begins to see them more as merely objects, and that the things in this creation are put in place to serve me in some way. Too often you think that freedom is something like pursuing happiness and my own satisfaction, rather than living obediently to the gracious rule of the Lord. No, for you, you would rather have this freedom given by God, to be a freedom that allows me to justify my own actions, rather than live the baptism God gives me. And because the fact of the matter is that you are not free in the way you might think. You're not free to do what you want. You're not free to be who you want. Because you're always bound to someone or something. You're always dependent and responsible for something or someone, because the world does not revolve around you the way you would hope. And who you are influences the relationships in your life more than you want to realize. You're not so independent as you might think. And what you do directly impacts the people you love, because what gives your relationships life is not because you gave it the stamp of approval, but the fact that your relationships that you have are given life because there are multiple people involved. You are both involved in giving those relationships life. To be bound to sin's rule is to see those people and the creation around you as merely objects to serve you. To be bound to God's rule, those things are no longer inconveniences or nuisances. But in fact, they start to become part of God's good creation and need to be cared for appropriately. For this is the difference for you. You are baptized into Jesus Christ. And Paul mentions in our text that this baptism and this death and new life is a spiritual death and life. But we should not try to separate our spiritual life from our physical life, because just as our actions influences our relationships, our actions influences our spirit and vice versa. You have been born anew, and the death you are united to is Jesus Christ's death, his real death, that while labeled as spiritual, is as real and deep as a physical death, because it's you, all of you, who was killed so that Jesus Christ might live in you and give you new life and make you into the person you're supposed to be. God would not have it any other way. Because God does not just want your spiritual life, but the Creator wants your whole life to be united to Him. Not a part of you, but the whole thing. You belong to the Lord. And in baptism, you are created anew, and now the Lord of creation rules in your life. But not as some dictator on high or some tyrannical ruler, but you are under his gracious rule. And you are someone different And in a moment, we'll remember what makes you different. You're baptized. Today, we remember the Lord's baptism, and maybe it strikes you like me, because if baptism is for people to be forgiven of their sins and the grace of God bestowed for salvation, why does the Son of God, why does Jesus Christ, who knew no sin and is the Son of the Father, need to be baptized? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need his sins or faults forgiven or to be given salvation because he is the one who is bringing salvation. Even though we need those things, Jesus Christ is not baptized for those. But because baptism runs deeper than just giving those gifts, of course they're included. Because if we read from the gospel lesson, we see that baptism claims the one being baptized as being God's beloved child. In baptism, the person is brought into God's rule and reign to do what he is given to do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is baptized so that the rule and reign of God, the reality of God's truth, would be manifested in his creation. And so that God's people would be united and identified by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is baptized, well, for you. So that in baptism, you are now called God's beloved child. It's why we baptize our children, so that their identity can be wrapped up in Jesus Christ and the whole reality of God's saving work in the creation. My memory of my baptism is fond, and well, I'm glad to have the memory. But when I look back, what astonishes and brings joy to my heart is the fact that even in my dumb 5-year-old head that thought this whole event was about me, God would be working something so brilliant and beautiful to claim me as his own. You all might not remember the day you were baptized, but that's not the point. You all are baptized, and you are all brought under the gracious rule of your Creator, who has put you here with a specific purpose. Most days, those purposes, relationships, and responsibilities might seem burdensome, trite, and serve no benefit for you. But they matter to God because they're a part of his creation. Otherwise, you would not be there to take care of them or used to serve them. To remember your baptism is to trust that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought you under his gracious rule, that he is at work to restore the creation he loves, and that you have an important role to play in that new creation, in God's reality. So remember your baptism. In Christ's name, amen.